Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 102. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Boy, I am so pleased with the way the last few episodes have turned out. I really haven't had a chance to talk with you all yet about my thoughts on episode 100, episode 101, and all of the great ideas that I have for the future coming up relatively soon. First of all, I want to start this week's episode by telling you, if you haven't listened to episode 101 yet, that was such a fun episode to record. And getting to talk with someone who was just about 4,000 miles away, I have to say, was a first for me. Last week, getting to know the MuseScore project a little bit better, hearing all the great things that they have in store for that project was really just the start. And ever since that interview, I've been working with a few different projects with them and contributing back to their community efforts. The first thing that we did is we got the old Wikifonia.org archive, which is 6,500 lead sheets. I posted that on the MuseScore community page so that all that music could be liberated and become open, part of the OpenScore project, and the MuseScore community members could edit and publish those as they feel necessary. So that's what we did. And also I volunteered to be sort of a pilot of a project coming up in the future. I don't want to get into that sort of on air, but I was really excited about that project. And in the future, I'd be glad to help even more. And I've invited them to come back on the show. And I think in the future, with future MuseScore releases, they're going to come back on and talk about what's new. So that's awesome. Episode 100 was really neat. Going back 2 weeks now, it was really neat because we got to take a look at some of the history of Podnuts, and we got to I got to learn some things that I didn't know about the network itself, and a lot of the listeners who maybe just listened to this show, maybe they were enticed to sort of understand what it's all about. But really, in all thoughts, I'm going to be honest with you guys, I never really had planned on starting to do interviews at all. And the last 10 episodes or so have been some of the most fun podcasts that I have done. Probably the last 7 or so, starting with 95 when I started doing some interviews, because I get to sort of interact with a guest. And I'm not going to be able to do that in every episode just because of my schedule. I have a really crazy schedule, but I'm not going to forget about it either. I think having guests on is really important. And I've spent the last few days reaching out and getting quite a few guests lined up in various topics that I think would be interesting to the listeners for this show. And if you have ideas of guests you'd like to have come on the show, or if you yourself has an interesting topic that you think would be great for the show, you can send me an email, mrptechreviews@gmail.com, and I'd love to have you on the show. And I'd love some feedback, too. So if you've been listening to these shows and you have questions, or if you liked a particular topic and you want me to do that more, let me know, and I will do that for you. It has been a whole lot of fun over the last few weeks. I've actually learned a ton on the production side in order to make this all happen. There was quite a few times where just minutes before a live show, I thought everything was going to fail and it wasn't going to work. And learning to work around and working to troubleshoot those issues in crunch time and making sure that all of those issues were resolved before we went on the live stream. It's actually been kind of fun. In episode 100, we had a t-shirt giveaway, which we've never done before. And that winner, I contacted him, Wayne, and I sent him a t-shirt. I think he went with the red one. That was a good choice out of the black and the blue and the red MRP Tech t-shirts. That was a whole lot of fun. I never had gotten a chance to do that before. And one of the things that, with that contest, what we wanted to do is have you submit show ideas. And so with Wayne being the winner of that contest, his idea for a show topic was, he said he'd be quite interested in an updated tools that I use show. So what I'm going to do today, I'm going to talk about some of the tools that I use in all of my different hats that I wear. So first off, for this show, here's what I use. Starting from what you're hearing with, normally I have a windscreen that I'm using, but I'm sort of packing up and moving a couple of things because it's the end of the school year. So I don't have my windscreen hooked up today, but I have a Shure 58 microphone. It is a dynamic microphone. It is reliable. It is an industry standard. It has been used by musicians for decades. And the SM58, you can't really go wrong with. It's about a $100 mic, and it is about as rugged and durable of a microphone that you're ever going to find. The next thing that I use is a TRS balanced mic cable that goes into a Focusrite Scarlett 2i2, which is a XLR input that goes to a USB output that will go into my computer. And the Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 has two ports, and it is all I need to have a mobile setup for podcast recording. I love it. It works on Windows, Mac, and Linux, and it is very small. Because when I first started podcasting, I was using a Personas mixer because that's what I had for my band. It was a 16-channel mixer, and it was bulky and rugged. And if I wanted to record somewhere differently, then I had to carry that with me, which is not a good thing at all. I try to move that as few times as I possibly can. So this Focusrite Scarlett 2i2, it's red. It is... as I mentioned, has two inputs. You can either do quarter inch cable or XLR cable. You have the opportunity for a line in or instrument. You can also self-monitor with headphones, which is kind of cool. I always like to use headphones when I record because you can hear yourself better. And if I'm moving away from the mic, I can hear that I'm moving away from the mic, and I won't have that show up in my show. So I try to stay as consistent as I possibly can with my audio. As far as the show goes, I have a few different tools that I use and a few different platforms that I use, and for various reasons. Sometimes I will record on a System 76 laptop. Sometimes I will record on a Mac, a MacBook Pro, all depending what I'm working on at the moment, where I am, projects that I'm introducing in the show. And sometimes I use both for the show. But I always record with a program called OBS. Now, for an audio show, OBS sometimes can be overkill. But in the past, when I use Audacity can be pretty buggy sometimes, and it crashes when I try to record. So I have given up on the recording aspect of Audacity, and I record in OBS. And I've got it set up quite well for guests now, where I can record multiple channels coming in from the input audio device, the internal audio device on my computer. So if I do a Google Hangouts call or something like that, I can have that pumped right into OBS, and it's separate from my own audio locally. And it works out really nice when it comes to editing, because you don't have to, everything is sort of isolated for the most part. So that is the recording mechanism that I use. As far as editing, that's where Audacity comes into play. It's very easy. My editing process takes me, usually, depending on the show, very little time. If I have a guest on the show, usually I have to spend a little longer editing the show, but I have it down to a science where the audio is where I like it to be. I still tweak once in a while to try something new. But I keep it, I try to use as much open source software as I can when recording this show. So I use Audacity for that. And when it comes to the show itself, for show topics, show ideas, articles, that type of thing, there's two apps that I use. The first thing I use is an app called Feedly, which I can aggregate news feeds and have them all imported into one app, so I can keep track of the latest news in tech industry or whatever else I'm interested in. I also use, if I happen to come across an article online that I don't have aggregated in Feedly, or even with Feedly, I guess I use, if I want to save it for later, I use an app called Pocket. It's a great tool for going back to an article and coming up to it later on. For instance, when I wanted to talk about the FBI wanting you to reboot your router, there was a couple of articles that I saved and put them off to the side in this Pocket app so that I could queue it up when I wanted to talk about it in the show. As far as other software that I use, it all really depends on the environment that I'm in, what I'm trying to do, and the goals that I have set for that particular project. What do I mean by that? Like I said at the beginning of the show, I wear many different hats. And if there's something that I can do in the open source world that I can create a professionally done look and feel and that sort of thing, I will try to do it as much as I can in Linux or open source software. So for instance, if I need to use a word processor, I'm always using LibreOffice on Windows, Mac, or Linux because it does everything that I need to do and it's free. I really like the LibreOffice project. It has forked from OpenOffice. All the bad stuff from OpenOffice seems to have stayed with OpenOffice. LibreOffice is a great project and I will support it as long as they are around. And it does everything that I need it to do. It can save as a Word document, that sort of thing. And so it's compatible with just about everything. So I haven't had no issues with it whatsoever. Now, to be honest, I don't do a whole lot of word processing that requires a whole lot of extra bells and whistles, but it does the job. And most of the time I save my documents in the open format, unless I'm working with somebody who needs a Word doc format. Another tool that I like to use, and I've mentioned it many times on the show, if I'm trying Linux distros out and I want to boot up Linux distros, Etcher is a great program, etcher.io. It's quick install, three-step easy process to flash a USB drive so you can boot Linux, and you're ready to go. If you're trying to do it on a Mac, when you flash it, Etcher on a Mac, for some reason, it won't boot up on PCs, but it will boot up on Mac. If I do it on a Linux computer like System 76, it will boot up everywhere. So just keep that in mind. I've had some issues, but Etcher is so much more reliable than say UNetBootin, which is sort of my backup. And it's a graphical interface, so it's quick and easy. If I'm going to flash a hard drive, sometimes I'll also use the DD command in the command prompt or the terminal. But for the most part, I use Etcher. When it comes to video editing, I'm still not sold on an open source video editor. I've gone back and forth between OpenShot and Kden Live, and there's a few other ones as well. I'm still experimenting with those. I've had good results. I've had bad results. I think everybody sort of understands that when it comes to video editing with free and open software. But Kden Live seems to be where I'm at. It's an extremely powerful tool for video editing. Depending on which computer I'm on, if I'm on my Linux computer and I'm recording, that's where I, if I want to convert something to or edit video, that's where I'll be at. Another project that I like to give a tip of the hat to is the Ardour project. Great audio editor, similar to Audacity, but seems to have a whole lot more recording capabilities. I use that from time to time. Now, if I'm putting on another hat and I'm working on, say, music production, that's where I'm mostly working on Mac. And then, again, I'm looking for a different outcome, a different product. And there are specific tools that I need to use that are not open source. They are proprietary software. And I'm okay with that. I'm not, let's say, out to change the world into using free software all the time. I admire the open source philosophy. But I'm not going to sacrifice in terms of hardware or software or that final outcome that I'm looking for. So in Mac, when I'm recording with, say, my big band, I'm using my Personas soundboard. I'm using the Personas software. Personas used to come with recording software called Cubase. Now they have their own software that's called Studio One, which is very nice. it is actually free when you purchase a mixer. And there is the Personas Capture, which captures the audio, Studio One, which you can go in and record, edit your audio, and the Universal Control, which is you can control everything with like iPads and that type of thing. They do have Android apps now as available as well. And if I'm on my Mac and I'm recording and I want to convert something into a video format, iMovie is free. It does what I need it to do. It's not the greatest. In fact, it has lowered in quality, in my opinion, over the last few years. But I do use iMovie from time to time. But I'm sort of stepping away from the Apple environment. Over the last few months, I've switched to, instead of using iTunes, I've been using Plex. I really enjoy Plex as a media player. It plays music, plays videos, streams them to my devices anywhere where I'm at. It also holds my photos. And now there's even a podcast app. I haven't had a chance to take a look at it yet, but I'm interested in it because if I can do everything in Plex, that would be awesome. Just browsing around some more as far as media players go on my computer, I usually stick with VLC. VLC is my go-to media player. Love it, love it, love it. Can't say a good. Can't say enough about VLC. As far as cloud hosting, I run my own cloud server. I try to not use Google Drive or Google Docs, or excuse me, Google Drive or Dropbox. I use it infrequently. I use it more for collaborating with other people. But for my own personal files, I self-host it with Nextcloud. I love Nextcloud. It is one of the coolest things I've ever put together, and it was so easy to do. I can't, again, speak highly enough of Nextcloud. Recently, I've also gotten into Google Hangouts and Skype. Nextcloud even has their own, some of the apps in Nextcloud are pretty awesome. They have their own video chat service, their own texting app service. Maybe someday I'll try it out and see how it works. Of course, there's Discord as well. Discord, I don't think is open source, but it is free to use and is a great chat room service. If you haven't jumped on our Discord chat server yet, you can go to my website, mrptechreviews.com. Just scroll down until you see Discord, and you click on the Discord button. It'll bring you, give you a link to jump in on our chat room, because there's a whole lot of stuff that happens in between shows that you're missing. If you really like this show, we have a really great community there that gives me show ideas. Many of the people in the group have a great sense of humor, and I'm so glad that they have joined on, and I'm actually getting to know the audience by doing this, and there's a lot of great people. Back with episode 100, we even had somebody jump on the show. It was a whole lot of fun, and I'd like to do that in the future, have more people asking questions maybe during the show or that type of thing. And so jump on Discord. It really is a lot of fun. If you haven't used it, it's very easy to use, it's free, and it's a way to interact on a different level with the podcast that you like to listen to. As far as Windows apps go, I really use Windows as infrequently as I possibly can. I just never got into Windows 10 or even Windows 8. I use Windows 7 for teaching at school. I'm trying, in the past, I've actually hooked up my whatever Linux laptop I had at the time and installed the smart board software on that. I've tried, I've moved away from Windows. I moved on from Windows. If I need to use tools, sometimes I'll use the portable apps. I'll have them installed on a flash drive, and many of which I've already discussed earlier in this episode. So I try to use cross-platform apps as much as possible so that if I'm switching from computer to computer or device to device, that my workflow doesn't change. And so that's my goal, is to whatever device I'm working on, I'm consistent and I have the tools available and ready for me. So cross-platform tends to be really important for me. As a teacher, the hats that I wear, we're using Chromebooks at school. I'm a Google certified trainer at this point in time. I've mentioned that before in the past. So we're using Google Apps, we're using G Suite, and we're using everything under the sun as far as that's concerned, Chromebooks. Is it my favorite thing to do? I would say absolutely not. In fact, Chromebooks are very limited in their abilities. But what it does is it's a real cheap computer that gets computers in the kids' hands of kids, and they use it. Most of them use it for everything. And I think that's a really great thing. So it's sort of a plus or minus type of thing. The kids have their Chromebooks and they do a lot, but they're limited. Let's just say that. When it comes time for my Google training recertification, I'm probably not going to recertify. I more or less did that just for learning about the Google products, and now I'm able to help everyone out in my district. So many of the apps on Chromebooks are web apps. I really don't have a lot of recommendations as far as that goes. Maybe in the future I'll do a show on that in itself. But I think we are basically coming up and we're showing you, you know, the tools that I use on a regular basis. If I were to have my Linux box with me, I have a different mindset. If I'm in the music world, again, my mindset is different. And if I'm teaching, again, it's different. There are different needs for the different things that I do. And I think that's what makes it a lot of fun for me to do a show like this. Speaking of, if you're listening to this show, yeah, you, let's talk for a second. An idea that I've had recently, and you can tell me if you like this idea, you can tell me if you hate this idea. I kind of want to go dark side a little bit. I kind of want to talk about some things that most people in the tech world don't want to talk about. What I want to talk about is I want to do a little bit more Mac stuff, iOS apps, Mac apps. And I'm not talking about every episode. I'm talking once in a while. Most people really like Android that are in the tech world. I personally really like Android. Most people in the tech world may or may not like iOS or Apple. I like iOS and Apple. That's my dirty secret. But I don't want to devote all my time and resources into that. I don't want to make this a Mac show. So tell me what you think about this. Should I once in a while do like an iOS app pick show where similar to other Android app shows that are out there, do an iOS app show just once in a great while and talk about iOS apps. What would you think of that if I did that? What would you think if I talked a little bit more on Mac apps using the Mac environment or even Windows stuff? What do you want to hear? What do you want to see out of this show? I would love to hear your feedback. I would love to hear your ideas. I know it's not going to be appealing to everybody, and I know that this show jumps around in topics, so this show isn't meant to be a certain topic week after week after week. In fact, that's what makes this show fun to do, is we get to talk about anything, and I'm going to have lots of guests still coming down the pipe talking about open source software, Linux software. We've got some great guests lined up talking about military history. We've got some great guests lined up coming up soon to talk about history of spaceflight. And I'm really excited about those. But I'd like to do something different for the Podnuts Network too and provide something that hasn't really been talked about a whole lot. And I think doing iOS app picks would be a kind of an addition for Podnuts and having that Mac presence, because there's a Windows presence, there's a Linux presence, there is a professional IT presence on Podnuts. I feel that I bring an educational presence, having a teacher part of the network, and I feel that I could also bring a Mac presence. So let me know what you think about that. If you're completely opposed to it, please let me know. If you are completely for it, please let me know, because otherwise I won't know if that's something that you want to listen to. And ultimately, you know, it comes down to what you guys want. So if nobody lets me know one way or the other, then that means I get to choose. So I'd be curious about that. So send me some feedback, mrptechreviews@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you about any show topic that we've talked about. You could ask questions about episode 19 if you wanted to, and I would answer your question. I really try to get back to everybody. Sometimes it may take me a week or two, depending on my schedule. If you are looking to support the show, you can go over to mrptechreviews.com. There's an Amazon affiliate button. If you click on that and go to Amazon, whatever you purchase, I get a small amount back as a way of you supporting the show. You can also hit a donate button. We have a Patreon page, patreon.com/mrptech. So there's lots of ways you can support the show. Tell lots of people about the show, too. I'd love to get more listeners. That's the best way you can support. And with that, coming up over the next few weeks, as I've mentioned before, it's getting into my summer season. And I switch jobs during the summer. I basically on Friday, June 22nd, that's the end of my school year. And then the following Monday, I start my summer job. And I'll be doing that all the way to Labor Day in September. So what that means, last year I took on a new position. I was a supervisor at a local tourist attraction. And it was a lot more work than I expected. This year, I'm in that same position, but I'm hoping now that we've had a lot of the same people come back for a second year, I'm hoping that this year will allow me a little bit more time to record more shows than I did last summer. So if I skip a week or maybe even 2 weeks, don't think that I've pod faded and I'm not coming back. I will record when I get a chance to. I will do my best to get on air when I can, and that's because I really enjoy doing this. So if you don't hear from me for a week or two, you can always check in with me, send me an email. You can go back and listen to past episodes. Check out all the other great shows on the Podnuts Network, too, if you'd like to do that. But I'll be around. I'll be coming back. I'm going to try to stick to a weekly schedule. If I can't, then there's just no way. So life comes first. But I will try my best to keep the motor running here and really keep producing these really fun podcasts, especially over the last few weeks. It's just been awesome, and I really enjoyed it. And I want to thank you all for listening to this show. I want to thank you all. I want to thank all of the guests who have come on recently. It has been an absolute honor and blast to get to talk with all of you. Emmett and Chris and Door to Door Geek and Daniel Ray from MuseScore. It has been really great, and I'm super excited for what's coming in the future. So if you have ideas for show topics, I would absolutely love to hear them. If you submitted show topics for the contest, I should have gotten in touch with you. If I didn't, I apologize. But I will be getting to those topics as well. And so I think we're going to wrap things up now. And so that's going to do it for this week, guys. So thanks so much for listening. We will see you guys next time.